Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
Coming up.
Wild.
No, I couldn't get into Block 9 last time I went to NYC Download. And I was Devo, but I was shit-faced and I deserved to be sent back to my tent. How are you? Have you been jealous watching all the Glasto stuff across the weekend?
Do you know what? No, I couldn't imagine anything worse than being stuck in a field with 400 people waiting to use a Portaloo.
Why? Have you never been?
No, I think that's the issue here, because I've never been. I think my jealousy streak is there. I think that's what it is. I mean, I did watch Charlie's set last night. Amazing.
It was amazing, yeah, it was.
Oh, God, she's just doing it. But also, I'm kind of like, the Brat summer is over now. I'm glad she burned the flag down.
Oh, long gone. Now, what are we now? Fascist, no, we've had fascist winter.
Oh, God.
Where are we now? Summer of the, I don't know. But, long gone. But it was good to see her, wasn't it? How good is she?
Yeah, she is really doing it. I know it's good. In fact, that I think she knew that Glastonbury was the end of like that whole Brett era. So it was worth it, her burning the flag down. I was like, yeah, let's go, burn the flag down. Good for you.
Yeah, I loved it. Loved all of it. Lots went on this weekend at Glastonbury. I mean, right. So the BBC, I might as well just get into it. I couldn't say this anyway other than Outcast. The BBC didn't carry, kneecap. I was interested in what kneecap had to say. I've only seen some clips. I'm actually interested in watching that in full, honestly. But they didn't, the BBC didn't do the same thing for Bob Villain.
What we can say is this: if you need to find out, you can go and look online. And that's not us backing out and saying we're not scared to say it, it's just,
well, I am scared. I'm scared of saying it.
Yeah,
I'm just scared of getting involved. And you know,
a lot of heat.
I don't see how you can possibly justify what is ongoing, and I think every right-minded person in the world feels like that, and we don't know how to articulate it, and what we can't write down properly, what we can't write down because we'd be hounded and denied entry to the US and all of the things that go on, we can communicate through art and songs, can't we? And I think that's what we saw happening.
Yeah, exactly. I know, and I think good for the boys for being, you know, so honest and vocal, because no one else is doing it, and it was such a shame, the fact that we always know that certain media outlets was biased about certain things.
I mean, obviously.
But what's worse, the fact that it's so loudly biased as well. But I was like, girls, this is bad. Like, people are seeing you for where you stand on the situation here.
Yeah. And it's really hard to maneuver your way through all of this without...
Yeah.
Look, what, did you see the 1975 performance? Did you see Matt Healy? I watched it quite late because it got to 10:30 at night. Me and him were like on the couch falling asleep. Like, his performance, people were like, well, he's a shithouse, because basically, and I was on the fence about this, so basically the 1975 do loads of performances and get really political. Remember when they were in they were in Southeast Asia, can't remember where they were, they were in Malaysia, that was it, and they were performing, and Matt Healy got into all that heat for bringing LGBTQ+ issues out into the open, and we said well done to him. I think he's probably just thought Glastonbury this weekend is going to be full of political opinions that I've done my time more than on the naughty step. Like, he suffered for what he said last time. So he said halfway through the set, he goes, I just want to say there's a lot of politics, there's a lot of bad things in the world at the moment, and I want people to come to our concerts and it not to be about that. I want it to be about love and friendship. And I get that, but then, you know, you've got all these things going on.
Yeah, a little bit of backpedaling there from him.
He actually, fair play to him, he did do like an hour of the most politicized songs possible. But this isn't political. And he was literally writing on the wall at one point, woke joke bloke. I don't know if you've seen them live.
He sort of walks
around with his pint in his hand, and it's a bit cringe at times. But
I think what's crazy to me is the fact that I love everything NECAP stands for. Also really good to see a lot of people that are, you know, in the media supporting NECAP. And, you know, because I saw even, I think, is it Nadia Suale? She's the, I think she's a loose woman, I think. she was in the comments commenting on how, you know, how proud she's niqab. And, you know, she's from an ITV outlet, which is, you know, which is very open about what they think. But I think it's so, I think Glastonbury is meant to be political.
Yes, it is.
It's meant to be somewhere where you're meant to be honest, because we all know the people in those crowds didn't pay £100 to be there. They pay hundreds of dollars, which means most of us mostly rich and woke.
That's the crowd, isn't it? It's a rich middle class crowd. Well, that's what you think, actually. That's what you're told. You are told an idea that the Glastonbury crowd is. Let me challenge that just a bit. I get what you mean. Like people, a lot of people at the they just look like me. They're just white, live down south, jobs in the media, and that there is that crowd. But then you'll never get more Scousers at anything than you will at Glastonbury. And I'm going to play you something now. It's a report from, just let me get it here, off BBC News yesterday, and it proper made
me laugh.
I
saw this.
Have a listen to this.
Why are there so many Scousers at Glastonbury?
Just like having fun, we love life, so why not?
All Scousers love to party, all Scousers love house music, so I think obviously it's a collective area where a lot of people come together.
100%, there's nothing better than house music, is there? Yeah.
We just love Glastonbury.
It's a Boss Festival, isn't it? The last one. Yeah. So many Scousers. And the closer I got to Glastonbury when I was driving from Liverpool, the more Liverpool accents there were. So there's the big media class, but there's also, like, also when you walk around, it's just, the thing about Glastonbury is, people say it's left-leaning. I've walked around there, and it's just like a cross-section of actual British society. And I think this is a case of when actual what's going on in British society collides with what the media thinks is going on, which is that everyone's fucking super right-wing and anti-immigration. All of a sudden, you look at Glastonbury, and you're like, fucking hell, we're much more diverse and much more sort of left-leaning and free than we're represented in our own media. And you see that at Glastonbury, and the fucking Mail on Sunday and the Telegraph and fucking GB News cunts, they can say what they like, but that what is popular in this country is actually what they're seeing at Glastonbury, and they hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's crazy as well. I think was beautiful the fact that Glastonbury didn't step down, because you know how much fucking calls they got made to be like, cut kneecap. And they said no. And I'm really glad for the company of Glastonbury to be like, no, we're doing this.
That they were going to carry it. Yeah. And I think they're not. Right. Imagine if Michael Eavis, who gets slagged off all the time, but if Michael Eavis had turned around and gone, yeah, you're absolutely right, Prime Minister, we won't be carrying that. That he wouldn't be doing the job of Glastonbury, which is a place. Yeah. Remember when Jeremy Corbyn turned up in 2017?
Yes,
and I was there.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
I was
quite
pro-Corbyn at the time, and I was more excited about him on stage. And I was, you know, how deep was that into the festival? I was in fucking tears. Yeah. That tells you how deep I was into it. Glastonbury's always been that kind of thing. And if Michael Eavis had said, kneecap's not playing, we wouldn't be having the conversations we're now having today, because people have gone out there and said, listen, Bob Villain, I don't think he should. I think he's put himself in legal jeopardy by saying the stuff that he did. I think he would probably admit he's took it too far. And kneecap, it's an extreme statement in order to stimulate an argument. And by allowing that to have happened in the mix of all the art, I think that Michael Eavis and Glastonbury, fair play to them, have enabled a load of conversations. I'm not supporting what was said. I just think, look at the conversations we're now having.
Yeah, which is important. And I think as well, what is a beautiful moment out of the wreckage is the fact that we are having this conversation because it's important. And also the fact that the BBC decided to, you know, not venture into those waters with kneecap. Helen from Wales was live streaming the whole show. Big up Helen. Did you see this?
I haven't seen this.
Helen from Wales is the TikToker who was at the front of kneecap's video, and she got over 6 million views yesterday because of her video, because she was the only person that was streaming that kneecap thing on TikTok live. You understand?
Big
up Helen from Wales.
Isn't that mad? I mean, that is doesn't that show
that's
you how
telling,
much?
Isn't it?
That says so much that many people would converge on some girl TikTok account than will watch the national state broadcaster. I do follow kneecap out of interest on Instagram, and kneecap said yesterday, and this is about the BBC, and this just a little bit, I'm kind of like, this just shows the amount of directions the poor old BBC sometimes, I do feel sorry for them sometimes, is pulled in. And what got said was, whereas let me find it here. I don't know if it's currently on the iPlayer what their performance was. Something written in Gaelic at the start, I don't know what it means. The propaganda wing of the regime has just contacted us. They will put our set from Glastonbury today on the iPlayer later this evening for your viewing pleasure. The crowd expected today is far greater than Westholt's capacity. I mean, kneecap literally shut down Westholt's. And to move us on to a different thing at Glastonbury,
yeah.
The crowds. You've been to your fair share of festivals. When there's yeah. a crowd control situation as a
it's
festival,
hard.
Whoa, scary.
It's hard. It's very scary. And I saw that for myself at Reading and Leeds when I was DJing and I was coming through the back end. It's scary stuff. Who was on stage? It was Billie Eilish.
Right.
Her first year. And you can imagine those hot-headed Gen Z trying to get to the crowd. It's yeah. insane. Yeah. It's insane. So it's when I think was it the year Sugar Babe shut down West Holt
yeah,
as well?
Last year.
Yeah, it happens.
It does, and I think it says yeah. that they kind of put people on West Holt as a way of going. It's a bit more left field on that stage, and then yeah. forget how many people have their opinions, and then West Holt gets shut down again. It's every year, and yeah. there's a bit of Glastonbury called the is it the southwest corner of the site, Block yeah. 9, the gay area. So cool. Yeah. So many years on the spin where I would have been up till about 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's my dream to go to. Even Charlie referenced it last night on her show.
So good.
She was like, hey, girlies, so you guys at Block 9? And she went. And there was a video of her at Block 9 at 3 in the morning.
She will have got in, though. The problem with Block 9 yeah. is getting in. You've got to have to. It used to be just the moustaches. And yeah. I got in year after year. We were almost invited to the front of the queue. It was amazing. And then yeah. last year, I was so. It wasn't last year. It was when I last yeah. went, 2022.
Yeah.
I got so shit faced. I mean, drunk. In the afternoon, like drunk. Like you've seen yeah. me. Like when have I been liability shit faced? Ibiza. Ibiza.
Yeah. Here's my sunglasses. Put us on.
Well, I was okay.
Drink this water. I paid €20 for.
Oh, you looked after me. You were like, God. You need these fucking shades. Get these on.
Put this on right now. in the middle of High Ibiza as well. Watching Moody Man.
That was so good though. It was such a good
wow.
No, I couldn't get into Block 9 last time I went to NYC Down Low. And I was Devo, but I was shit-faced and I deserved to be sent back to my tent, which was an uphill walk. But when you're in that part of the site in the evening, there is a bit yeah. where it goes, Block 9, southwest corner, shut off,
yeah.
don't go there, crowd control. And when you're in the crowd control and it's night and everyone's like hot and fucking, so a lot of people are off their tits and
yeah.
it's a fucking, and that the bright lights on you and you're like, being, it can be like, fuck.
A lot,
yes,
yeah.
it can be a bit yeah. scary. So yeah. I think of all of the people I know that should go to Glastonbury, I think it's you. I think you and me would have.
Yeah, my time will come.
Honestly.
I'm definitely trying again next year again. Don't you worry. It literally is a dream to come true. But you know what? I think the most important takeaway from this weekend is music. Music unites people yep. and it divides the right.
Yep.
It kind of takes the trash out, to be fair.
Yeah.
The best way to say it, yeah. it really does take the trash out. So I think this, it would have, in all, I think the music really spoke for itself this weekend and, you know, there's still more to do, but I did not appreciate the clashes though. Like Doechii was on the same time yeah. as freaking, and well, I'm not very a Neil Young fan. No offense to the girlies who like Neil Young. It's not who yeah. I am. Yeah. not who I am.
Yeah.
Not
there, who I am. There were a lot of clashes. The thing is, that is Glastonbury for you though. I mean, the best yeah. place to see everything is on the telly
from your house.
Yeah, yeah. But you're having a different festival if you're seeing everything. The thing about going yeah. to Glastonbury most times is I know I'm going to miss most stuff. And what yeah. have I enjoyed most over the years? Stormzy, fucking brilliant. Jeremy Corbyn, fucking brilliant. Noel Gallagher, one afternoon on a Saturday. That was brilliant. Camel Fat, when they were a bit smaller, in a tent,
in
just full of Scousers, just having
back.
The best yeah. night I think I've had in... I can't imagine having a better night now. And that was yeah. about 2016. So, I think that Glastonbury, what it does, and I think I said this earlier, but I just want to, I really thought about this, is that we can't say certain things in the media. We can't say certain things as individuals because the forces in the world at the moment are lined up against us and they'll just take us down. And you know yeah. what broad cross section of things that is. But where we can do these things is in art. Art and
yes,
music,
indeed.
And I think that is where you're going to see, as the world, if we move towards the more fascist, fucking centralized, authoritarian world, you're going to see the real resistance in art, and then you're yeah. going to see them trying to fucking clamp down on that next.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that's why Glastonbury was so beautiful, and I wish I'd been there this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It was also good seeing all those different flags being flown. That was really, that. Really, really beautiful and stunning. But you know what? I think with that being said, I think we are now in that territory where you have to play a lot of things by ear and know time and place to say certain things, and it's yeah. sad really, but it really is the outcome of the current climate where sometimes it sometimes I see stuff because I think someone even said to media days that only I don't ever see you share Free Palestine, stuff like that. I was like, listen, you all don't know what I do in my own time.
Yeah.
I am very clued up on a lot of stuff. I just don't talk about it because I don't think performative. I think there's a lot of performative art on the socials.
Yeah.
And that is not who I am as a person. I don't rainbow rush.
Same.
That's not who I am. So I just want to say it's because a lot of people ask me, oh, we don't, people ask my views and stuff. And I'll be very honest. My views are very much what I think is right. And even though I mightn't voice them all the time, just know that I'm standing under what I think is the right side of history.
Yeah, that's no, all. I agree. And there's only so much as individuals we can do. Look at what we're doing now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We are standing up when no one needs us to, putting ourselves out there. We're not being paid to do, I'm not being paid to do this, you're not being paid to do this. And we're doing something using the skills that we have to have the right arguments in public and taking it on the chin and being authentic, right? What we're not doing is making a spectacle of ourselves entirely and destroying our ability to make a living. We've got to fucking eat, you know?
Yeah. Indeed.
I mean, this isn't like my full-time job. It isn't your full-time job. So there's a lot of pressure on people to be out there saying the things all the time. And then there actually comes a point where or what else are they doing in their lives? And it's not all about Instagram.
And also, with that being said, I wish I could be loud and proud about a lot of things. I really wish I could. Same. But sometimes because of the lanes I am in, whether that be radio, DJ and stuff, sometimes that everything needs to be loud and proud. And that's not me being saying to minimize yourself or close your window down because you're scared. Sometimes you just need to know time and place. And this is a time and place for it.
Yeah. Did you see Jade?
Yeah. She did some very similar Hoopla. And she got a lot of heat from people saying, oh, well, Wanda. But I was like, listen, she's just being loud and proud. And, and she might take hits for that. But, good for her. Because I mean, she can get dropped from Warner any minute for saying stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she really could. She's really risking a lot by doing that.
Yeah.
And she slagged off. I haven't got it written down in front of me.
Yeah.
She threw everything in there. Trans rights.
Yeah.
What Israel's doing to Palestinian people.
She
fuck
did everything.
She did disability cuts. The girl turned up and she didn't have to. And well done.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
But you know what? You, while we're on the topic of things that people turning up, do you see who turned up in jail this recently? Did you see the news?
Sorry, I'm going to give you, can I just, right now, if we were Tor Blindin, I'd hold up a sign to give you a score for the fucking handbrake turn you just pulled and executed absolutely fucking brilliantly.
Of course.
So it's a 10 from me. Oh God, this is why she's here. We love her.
Listen. Right. So recently there was either of you all know, well, I know, and I'm a man that had, dabble in pornography watching in my time,
same.
Completed lockdown very well.
Yes.
But we're gonna touch on something that I think is very important. I feel like our community needs to it's just one of them, but let's talk about it. Now, Justin Heath Smith, born April 3rd, 1981. Name might not ring a bell to you, but in the pornography world, he's known as the porn star Austin Wolf. Now, he has been active from 2012 to 2024 and recognized with multiple industry awards. Two major studios like Randy Blue, Falcon, Cocky Boys, Men.com, and a very, very, very big following.
He's done a lot, hasn't he? You'd know his face.
He's been round the block. You've seen that dick. You've seen the cum shot. You've seen everything.
Yeah.
He's very famous for holding his nipples while he comes. It's just one of them. Now, he recently, in June 2025, this month, he was arrested in June 2024 in New York by the law enforcement, accused him of possessing and distributing hundreds of child sexual abuse material. Trigger warning. Via Telegram, including images of children as young as infant.
Fuck.
This is where it gets a little bit more wild. The federal charges in SDNY for distribution, receipt, and possession of child pornography and carrying the mandatory minimum prison sentences ranging from 5 to 20 years. Now, June 2025, which is literally last week, He pleaded guilty to one federal charge, which is enticement of a 15-year-old minor to engage in a sex act, which under New York federal law, sentence demands at least 10 years in prison. Now, he has also outly said that he takes fully responsibility and did express remorse in court. Now, this is where I'm going to be very loud and upfront about the situation. How are we only picking up on this bullshit now?
And you're talking about it's the spread of content that this man's been involved in for a bit.
This man has been going on since 2012, guys.
So, and I'm going to caveat this with, right, so you and I both know, like most of us, most of anyone has seen porn. So we know through all of the stuff that's going on, some people are like, oh, it's all outrageous, but there is some things that are like, I think there's some of the stuff that he was doing and the things he was representing was like, this is kind of like pedo-coded all the way through. These models look super young and I'm already like, right, no, not for me. And also, like, there were people who were just like outrageously smaller than him, and it was always kind of like, I'm big man, this little boy, and it was all, and it used to fucking creep me out, and it creeped a lot of people out, and ta-da, there you go. And I think that is said from the perspective of someone, and I know that you're probably the same, that I've seen plenty of porn. I know what's acceptable and what isn't, and I applaud people who do it for a living and love it, because I love seeing people loving what they do. What I don't like seeing is representations of just fucked up, horrible, messed up stuff, and people alongside it and going, oh, it's adult content. No, it's not. It's fucked. We can all see that.
Yeah. And I'm gonna echo that conversation and say this. I'm kind of sick and tired of a lot of, like, I'm going to say this. Let's stop with the certain types of porn there is out there. The incest porn and stuff, kill that off. Nobody's watching that anymore.
Fuck. I mean, why am I seeing advert that says, oh, stepdad? What point did that become? And why are you doing that? I don't want to see that. No one. So why are we having it mass marketed to us to be fucked up, like proper fucked up, horrible?
Do you know what's crazy? You find that's also the most watched, the most wanted, two of the most watched pornography titles and genres in the UK is Step Parents and Daddy, which is wild. Every single time I saw an Austin Wolf piece being thrown around, it was always, I feel like the casting has, every single time I know he was shagging someone in video, it was typecast. It was the young, twinky, barely adult looking boys. Every single time. And I do not know how that wasn't ringing alarm bells in the industry. I personally think the porn industry need to do a little bit more. And I wish that Topher was here, because they would be so, you know, engrossed in this country, because Topher is an adult creator.
He knows his way through that world. And we are going to speak to him about it at some point soon, directly related to this. Will. Consent and porn know, and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think as well, I think it's shocking, because when stuff like this happens, it kind of our community takes a hit, because people think this is who we are. Yeah. The whole midget thing was all very weird, because you're seeing this big 6 foot man literally guts rearranging this 4'3" little person.
But on its own, I'm going to say that someone who's vertically challenged, whatever the hell they're saying, right? Someone who's freakishly smaller compared to him being massive, I can see as if that's a grown adult. I mean, might not be for everyone, but it seems completely consensual to me. But when you alongside that with lots of sort of pedo-coded kind of like, oh, he's under, and it's someone who might just be just about legal, but the thing is, oh, there's a question mark. When you're alongside in them things with each other, much smaller, and oh, look, but then it's like, I know what you're fucking saying. Like, obviously you can't publish that stuff, but I know what you're communicating to people and which audience you're trying to cultivate. The same way we know with racist dog whistle, don't we? Mm-hmm. We know when someone's fucking, oh, I can't call me racist, and they're just little racist dog whistles, which says that they are. Well, we also can see through adult content what stuff is just, like I said, pedo-coded.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I'm very proud of the people that came forward and, you know, call this out because it needed to be done. And it's crazy because what's more disheartening is still seeing that people sharing this kind of content from him on socials.
Yeah.
That for me is wild behavior.
Like, what are you saying? Like, what? Yeah, this is what I'm all about.
And it's still some of the most watched pornography. And I don't know who is doing this.
Yeah, I don't know who either. But how much of it is what are they just serving everyone with adverts because they've realized it does well? And how much, you know, the way they do it with feet. I get loads of stuff about feet. And I'm like, well, I'm not into feet. But someone called Conservative Peer, Gabby Berlin. And she wanted to talk with the Science and Technology Secretary called Peter Kyle. And she laid out an array of pornographic images across his desk. There were screen grabs showing little girls, their hair in bunches, massive grown men grabbing little girls' throats. She had selected images which appeared to depict child abuse, and yet they were illegally available on a popular website. And unless you see it, you can't believe how bad it is. This is a Conservative saying to the government. And she's saying that the issue of regulating that kind of content is now so prescient that what you need is a minister for porn. Who actually doesn't just go, it's all bad. It's like, this stuff exists. If people are being looked after, it's all consensual. These acts are not being judged. But if you start to, the stuff we've been talking about and they're alongside in it, unacceptable. Mm. Let's stop it. Yeah. Because how many people have been funneled this content like they are with other extremist material that makes them actually nonces at the end of the day?
Yeah. The thing is, not only is this filtering us into the real world, there are people there who might be easily led astray by this content because their minds are weak.
What about someone who's just a fucking, sits in his flat fucking 23 hours a day, fucking getting high as a kite, masturbating over porn, and then alongside this content, and before you know, you've got people just being fed stuff that they wouldn't have even gone near unless they'd have been fed it.
So, yeah.
And maybe they do need, a government minister for porn.
Nick Charles and Graham. Can you imagine us having to sit through porn all in, like,
oh God,
check,
not...
check. Like, have a little checkboard. Oh, this is fine, check. But can you imagine?
So the things that I'm looking out for, that I'm saying not fine. I'm saying the everyone going straight for choking and all that. I don't know about that alongside in that. I think you need a lot, I don't know.
I like a bit of pressure on my neck. Not in a kill me way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to have a good time.
Yeah. I'm not such a big fan of that, but I accept that people want to do it.
Spit in my mouth, though. I'm happy with that.
Spit in your mouth, you're happy with
that? Spit in my mouth,
I'll put you down
there.
For that, then. Spit in my mouth.
Just don't be putting your tongue in my mouth, though. No. Feet? No, ma'am.
None of any of what he's just said, then.
It's a no from me, darling.
It's a no from me. I think that, but there is, without, like, consensual ethical porn doesn't mean shit porn. There's nothing that's non-ethical or consensual about the idea of the plumber turning up at the house.
You've never had a sparky come to your house and you just want to rip his clothes off?
And I think that representing thing, but we've just described a scenario that seems okay, but you know, something that involves using people that look super young and then choking them, I think is probably
that's
fucking
a weird one.
And
it's a no from me, darling.
It's a no from me, but we need, you know, the stuff we've just said, you need someone who can work their way through that and fucking, do you know what? You need somebody who just knows fucking right from wrong, don't you?
Yeah.
More people just need to know actual right from actual wrong.
We need we need as a porn minister, as someone like Anne from The Weakest Link. Straight face, this is not nice. No, we're not allowing this.
I dread to think that nothing would get through, would it? Nothing would get through.
No.
Right, great to chat as always.
Of course, darling, never, always, always a pleasure, never a chore.
I'll see you soon,
darling, bye.
Stay with me, this is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.